Last week we saw how Yeravam met Achia Shiloni, and Achia gave him the prophecy that he will be the next king over Klal Yisrael. Not only that, but he actually took the cloak he was wearing, he tore it into a bunch of pieces. And we saw the Radak says that any Nevuah that has a Maiso together with it is for sure going to happen. No question that it's going to happen. It's clear. And the reason why Yeravam had the guts, he had the ability to go out and rebuke Shlomo in public, even though Shlomo was a powerful and mighty king, was first of all because he was already an official. Shlomo appointed him to be an official to collect the taxes from Shevet Yosef. And secondly, because he heard the Nevuah from Achia Shiloni, who was a Navi, and that's what gave him the power to rebuke Shlomo in public. So this parak today, we're going to see how the Nevuah of Achia is actually taking place. So Shlomo HaMelech died. He passed away. Vishkav Shlomo Mavaisav. He was buried with David, his father. And now his son Rechavam is the one to take over. So what does it say? What does the first pasuk say? Ve'elech Rechavam Shechem. So Rechavam goes to where? Where does he go? Goes to Shechem. Shechem ba kol Yisrael l'ham lich'oisai. Now, there's a few very interesting points of it in this pasuk. First of all, we find that Yeravim went to Shechem. Shechem is not the usual place you appoint a king. Where do you typically appoint a king?
Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim, exactly. Yerushalayim is the place where you appoint a king. That is the capital. Why is he going over to Shechem? Because Bnei Yisrael decided they want to be Mamlechem in Shechem, not in Yerushalayim, because they were already planning ahead of time to give him a hard time.
To get rid of him.
Not to get rid of him. They weren't planning right away to get rid of him, but they were going to give him a hard time. We're going to see. Exactly. What happened. So they wanted to take him away from his power base. Remember, he's from Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda, their Nachal is in Yerushalayim. They wanted to bring him over to Shechem. Shechem belongs to who? Which Shevet?
Yehuda.
No, Shechem belongs to Shevet Yosef.
Yeah.
Shevet Yosef.
All right. That was before when David started out.
No, David started out in Hebron.
Hebron.
Yeah. Right. So they're starting Rechavam in Shechem. They want to take him out of the power base. They want to put him in Shechem. Another very interesting point is that the halacha is that when a king dies, his son is automatically king after him. You don't have to need to anoint the son. You don't have to have this whole ceremony to anoint the son and appoint him as king. He automatically receives the melucha, right? Just like an inheritance. So too, the son of the prince of the king receives an inheritance of the position of the kingship. And that's naturally what's supposed to happen. It's a Gemara in Harayah, it's a Gemara in Krisis, Chazal talk about it. All of a sudden, we find over here, what's happening? Kibo kol Yisrael l'ham lichaisai. The Jewish people have to appoint him as king. What do you mean appoint him as king? You don't have to appoint him. He's automatically a king, right? But what they want, their plan was, since they're the ones to, so to speak, appoint him as king, they can go ahead and place demands, right? We're the citizens, right? We're now appointing you as king. So it's in our hands, it's in our control to set conditions and say, okay, you want to be king? These are the terms. We're going to tell you what to do, we're going to tell you what not to do. This is all a plan to put Rechavam in his place, so to speak. Now, one last thing. So Shechem was the place of Shevet Yosef. Now we find throughout history that Yosef is always second in command. We find this from the beginning. When he comes down to Mitzrayim, he becomes second in command in the house of Potiphar. When he gets thrown in jail, again, he becomes the Mishneh. Becomes second in command in the jail. And even when he becomes king, he's still only the viceroy to Pharaoh. Right? He's not the king. He's only the viceroy. So Yosef, throughout history, is always the second. He's number two. And it seems that Shechem, that Yosef and Yehudah are in that constant battle of struggle, who is going to be in the head and who is going to be second place. We find in Mashiach, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be, he's not going to be the main Mashiach. The main Mashiach is who? Mashiach ben David. Comes from Shevet Yehuda. Right? Shevet ben Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, is the secondary Mashiach. He's the one that's supposed to fight all the wars to defeat the evil. Spiritually, Yosef is the one to defeat Amalek, to defeat Esav. Right? Chazal say, V'bis Yaakov le'ish, u'bis Yosef le'hava, u'bis Esav le'kash. So Yaakov is compared to the actual fire, the flame. The actual fire. Yosef is compared to the flame, meaning the flame gives the fire the ability to spread further. And Bais Esav is a kash. Esav is compared to kash, the straw, which is obviously is easily burnt. Yosef is the one that has the power to have the fire spread all over and control the household of Esav. So that's why Yosef is the one who typically fights the wars. In Melchemes Gog Magog, we know that Yosef is supposed to, or at least the tekufa of Yosef is going to be during the one that that fights the wars and defeats the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and defeats Esav. And then Malchus V'Zavid, Mashiach ben David, comes along and he is appointed as the Melech HaMashiach, as the king. He's going to be the one to control, to rule Klal Yisrael. Now, there's a very fascinating conversation in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Parak Chelek, the last parak, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and none other than Yeravam. Yeravam, as we're going to see, is the one who takes away the Melucha from Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. Yeravam, later in his life, was Chayta, he sinned. And Hashem comes over to him and offers him a golden opportunity to do tshuva. And he gives him the following proposition. He says, if you do tshuva right now, ani ata uben ishai, netayel began Eden. Me, you, and ben ishai, and David, are going to walk around hand in hand. We're going to take a stroll in Gan Eden. Pretty good deal, right? I would take that deal any day. Well, how does Yeravam reply? What does he say? He says two words. Mi barosh. Who's going to be walking in the head? That's what I want to know. Right? Who's going to be in the driver's seat? Right? I don't want to be stuck there in the back seat.
You're telling him you're giving me a good deal, but I want to be first.
I want to be first, right? So what does Hashem say? Hashem says, Ben Ishai Barosh. David will be in the head. What is your Rebbe reply? Imkach loy beina. Says, tell Hashem, forget about it. I'm not interested. Right. Take your deal, go give it to someone else.
All
right? Unbelievable. He's turning down his golden opportunity to do tshuva and walk together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David in Gan Eden. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says pshat. He says, if you look at the Gemara, what does it say? Right? What did Hashem tell him when he first asked who's going to be in the head? What did Hashem answer? He said, before he asked the question, he says, ani ata, me, you, and Ben Ishai are going to walk in Gan Eden. Meaning, you, Yeravam, you're going to be first, right? So why did Hashem change it later on and say, oh no, Ben Ishai is going to be, David is going to be first? Why? Because Yeravam was a major Baal Gaiva. He understood the first time that he was supposed to be in the head, right? But he wanted to hear it again. He wanted to hear it explicitly. Ah, who's going to be in the head? Let's hear it again. Let's hear it again. Right? So because of that, Hashem says, oh, you're a major Baal Gaiva. You want to hear it again? You want me to speak it out that you're going to be in the head? No. Now I'm going to change the deal on you. Right? Now, if you want that, because you asked that, I'm going to say, okay, David HaMelech is going to be in the head. Right? So we see that there's this constant struggle between David and Yosef, right? Yeravam comes from Shevet Yosef. Who's going to be in the head? Who's going to be leading? And so, initially, Yosef was supposed to be leading, right? Yeravam comes from Shevet Yosef. He was supposed to be leading, right? but because of his gaiva, well, you find that Yosef has that issue of gaiva, right? Even back in the household of Yaakov, Yosef was the one who was Masalsa Basara, he was, you know, fixing up his hair, he was trying to look good for the women. So we see that Yosef has that struggle within him of feeling importance. And so the Masaraska that we take from this is that even though Yosef was given the second place throughout history, the lesson we can learn from this is that no matter what position you're given, you have to make the best of it, right? If you're given a certain position, do whatever you can do. Okay, so I'm not going to be in the head. So what? This is where Hashem wants me to be. This is what I have to do, right? I have to do play the best role I can. Just to illustrate this point, right? I'm going to give you a mashal. Imagine for a minute that, let's take Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford, right, the famous movie actor, he goes to his agent, and his agent says, Harrison, we've got the best movie for you coming up. It's a prime role. I'm telling you, it's going to get great reviews. It's a great cast. An amazing director. He gives him the script. And Harrison Ford goes back to his place. He looks it over. A few days later, the agent calls Harrison. He says, did you look at it? What do you say? You interested? Harrison tells the agent, forget about it. I'm not interested. He says, well, Harrison, what do you mean? You know, is it the money? We'll get you more money. Is it the cast? We can change the cast. Don't worry about it. We'll do whatever we can, whatever it is. Harrison turns to his agent and he says, don't you understand? In this movie, I'm playing a role of this poor beggar, a loser, right? A nothing who has no money and no power. That's not me. I'm an important guy. I can play a role of a beggar, yeah. Right? Now, obviously, this conversation never happened, right? Because everyone understands in Hollywood, it doesn't matter the role you play. If you play it well, if you play it in a convincing way, then you're going to go on to win Oscars. You're going to be given honor. You're going to make money. It's not about the role you play, it's how well you play it, right? Now, you can play a role of a wealthy, influential, rich man, but if you play it in a horrible way, if you don't play it well, then everyone's going to laugh at you. You're going to be mocked. So, too, in this world, it's not about the role you're given. It's about how you play out that role. Hashem gave every person a role. It doesn't matter if it's a wealthy individual and an influential man, or if you're a poor beggar, it's how well you play your role. That is what you have to do. That's all you need to do. Right? The rest is doesn't matter. So what Yosef has to recognize is, Yeravim in this case, is this is the role that he's given. Give it your best shot. Right? Don't look to be in the head. Don't look to be in charge. Don't look to be first in place. Okay. Beseder. That was the first pasuk. So let's see Vayitra. So we already from the start we see that there's trouble. Rechavam is not really being given the automatic position that his father had as king. So pasuk base continues. Vayigi shmei Yeravam ben Avat v'udena b'mitzrayim. Right, Yeravam hears that. Oh, I see they're being malachim and Shechem, and they're anointing him. He knows how to read between the lines. And he can smell the blood, right? So he's living in Mitzrayim, right? He's a shark. The sharks begin circling. Asher Baruch Mipnei HaMelech Shlomo, Vayeshev Yerovim Mitzrayim. So Yerovim is still in Mitzrayim. But he hears that the Jewish people are not really so happy with Rehoboam, right? They don't really give him the honor he deserves. Vayishlechu Veikru Loi Vayovoi, right? So they call for Yerovim. And Vayovoi Yerovim Chok Al Yisrael Vayidabra Lechavim Lemor, right? So they call for Yerovim. Yerovim is an opportunist. He realizes that he's got a golden opportunity over here to oppose the Malchus of Rehoboam. So what do they say? What do they tell him? Pasuk Dalet speaks out their complaints. Havicha hiksha es uloi es uleinu ve'ato ato hokel ma'avoyda savicha kasha u'me'ulei akove deshanosan aleinu ve'navdecha. So they come to him and they tell him, listen, there's two ways a king can rule. One way is democracy. We appoint you as a king, and that means that it's a small government, elected by the people, controlled by the people. We get to decide what are going to be the rules, how much taxes you can collect, and how to control the affairs of the country. Right? It's really up to the people. That's one way of ruling. The other way is a dictatorship. The king has all the power. He gets to decide what the rules are. He gets to decide what the laws are, how much to tax the people, what size army he can have. And anyone who goes against him, boom, off with the head. Done. You're finished. So now, they're telling him that your father, Shlomo, was a dictator. Not in a negative way, but he was a powerful king. He was controlling. He got to decide whatever he wanted. No one can tell him what to do or what not to do. Now that he's dead, we want a different kind of ruling system. We want a democracy. We want it to be up to us. So they're giving him two reasons, right? Look at the pasuk. It says, "Ve'ato, ato." First of all, the fact that it's you, right? Ato, meaning you, right? It's you, and because you are not as powerful as your father was, so now we're trying to take this opportunity and change a few things. We don't want you to rule in such a powerful way in a dictatorship. We want it to be more of a dialogue with the people. We want it to be more up to us to decide what is going to happen and what's not going to happen. The second reason they're giving him is Ata, meaning now. Unlike Shlomo HaMelech, when Shlomo became king, he was a powerful king. It was already too late. There wasn't really anything we can do to change the fact that he was powerful, he was ruling with an iron fist, and we couldn't change that, right? It was already in progress, his kingship. But now is the perfect time. Now that you are starting, you're beginning your reign, now is the perfect time to change things around.
You're older,
and to have it our way.
You're older than when your father became king.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're smarter or whatever.
Right. So they're telling him, first of all, it's you, right? You're not as powerful as your father. Secondly, it's the beginning of your reign, and therefore, it's now the perfect time to change from a dictatorship to more of a democracy. So they're telling him, listen, it was very difficult with having your father in control. We want you to be more considerate, lower the taxes, right, get rid of all the reforms in government, have a smaller government, and not rule.
Don't have so many wives.
Don't have so many wives, yeah. Shlomo HaMelech pretty much did whatever he wanted. Right, now they're telling him, buddy, slow down. We don't want the same kind of relationship that we had with your father. So let's see. How does Rehoboam reply? So he tells them, listen, Let me think about it. You know, I'll take 3 days, I'll think about it, I don't want to give you an answer right away, which is generally a good idea. Don't give people an answer right away. Yeah, I'll think about it. So what does he do in the meanwhile? What does he do? He goes to the elders. Always a good idea. Go to the elders. They always have wisdom together with life experience. Right? It says in the Mishnah, it says, Ben Arbaim Labina. When a person turns 40, he has Bina. He can understand things on a deeper level. Ben Chamishim Le'etza. Once he turns 50, then he can actually give advice. Because at that point, he doesn't only have the wisdom, but he has the accompanied life experience. Chazal, it says in Perkei Avos, in Chacham Kabbalah Nisayon. Right? The person who has experience, that's the best wisdom you can have, right? Because it's one thing to know things on your own, but to be street smart or whatever it is, but to have real experience, that really teaches you how to handle situations, and that's why the elders are always the best people to give advice, to give etzah. Yeah. And the Mabim over here points out that what did he ask this kenim? If you look at the pasuk, it says he turns to this kenim and he says, "Eich atem noyatsim." How do you give advice? Right? He didn't say, you didn't use the word ma. Ma means what? Well, what is your advice? Right? Rather, he said, "How do you give advice?" Right? Meaning, what he was really asking was on the actual advice itself. And he wasn't asking, like, what your advice is. He was asking, how should I reply to the request? Right? Meaning what? Meaning, what he was asking for, meaning, in his head, he already decided that he was not going to comply with the request of the people, right? So therefore, he turns to the skenim. He doesn't tell them, "Oh, what do you say? You know, should I listen? Should I not listen? Should I comply with them? Should I not comply?" No. In his head, he already decided, "I'm going to push them off." The only thing I need from you, the skenim, is how should I push them off? How should I push them off in a way where they won't rebel against me? That's all he wanted, right? Which is obviously not a smart thing. When you come to ask for advice, you have to come with an open mind. You have to put all options on the table, and in a very open and honest way, explore and see what the best option is. Don't decide for yourself what the best option is, and then try to figure out how to implement it. So that was the first mistake that Rechavim did. Is he already decided in his head that he was going to handle it a certain way, and he just wanted to know how. Right, there are a few options. Either you can kind of like soft, you know, sweet talk them into convincing them that that somehow he's going to be different than his father. Or you can actually deceive them, right? You can try to fool them in some way. Or you can actually threaten them. And you can scare them. And you're going to try to put them in place. Right? That's really what he was wondering, right? How exactly should I go about this? How should I go about pushing them off? So what did the skenim say? How do they reply? Vaydabru elav lemer. The skenim, the elders, turned to him and they said, "Ima yoyim tia eved la'om hazeh. va'avadatam va'anisam v'dibarta lehem dvarim tovim v'hoyulcha avadim kol yom. They give him pearls of wisdom. They tell him, listen, you know, the people, they want you to be king, right? They have no beef with you. You have to, you try to work with them, right? Don't push them off, right? They came right in the beginning. They came in a nice way. They asked for something. You have to comply, right? If you just push them off, then it's not gonna hold long term. If you want to build a long lasting relationship with them, you need to work together with them. There's no point in trying to control them.
Antagonize them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fair request. You have to comply. However, what does Rechavim do? He leaves the advice of the zkenim, of the elders, asher ya'atzu, the advice that they gave him, what does he do? He turns to his childhood friends. And he says, guys, what do you say? Right, these are young men, unexperienced. They don't have the life wisdom that the skinny have.
They're probably looking for a job.
Yeah, looking for a job, right? They're probably, you know, unemployed.
Get rid of the old guys. And, hey, we'll show you how to do
right,
it.
They're unemployed. They want to take the position of the older people. Now here we go. Here's their time to shine. Right now we're gonna be able to give eitzes, to give advice to the new king, Rechavam, and we'll be able to take the place of the skanim. So what do they say? Vayomer lehem, ma atem yoyetzim? Rashi v'davar esam azeh, shadibru elei lehem arakam alein, akel min ha'ol, asher nasan avicha aleinu. Right, so he turns to them, and he says, what should we do? Now, just another point I forgot to mention. Is that the skanim, another point that the skanim told him, which was very wise, was not to wait the full 3 days. Don't wait till the last second, and then tell them, oh, by the way, I decided that I'm gonna let you.
I'm not listening to you.
Right. But they told them, first of all, give them what they want, but you should call them in right away. Don't wait until the end of the 3 days. Because if you call them in right away and you tell them, yes, for sure, I'm gonna be more easygoing, I'm gonna lower the taxes, I'll give you what you want, they're gonna be so happy with you that they're gonna appoint you as king, they're not gonna have any conditions, they're gonna be so happy, so satisfied, so content. And they'll point it right away. You're not going to have any trouble, right? Again, a very subtle point, but extremely wise, right? And that was another part of the Eitzah, that was part of the advice of the elders. But, of course, he didn't listen to them, and he goes over to the younger, unexperienced people, and they say, if you look at the pasuk, it says, "V'yalev his atzas haskenim asher yatzuhu," meaning he left the advice that the skenim gave him. Meaning the advice asher yatzu, meaning the advice that he really didn't ask for, because what he was asking for was how to push the people off, and not to comply with them. And they told him the opposite. No, you should listen to them. Right? So he's leaving the advice that they gave him, the advice that he really didn't ask for. It was, so to speak, unsolicited advice. And that's how he showed that he really never had in his mind to listen to the people and to fulfill what they asked for. Right, and he didn't recognize that it was only with this kanim that he would be able to to con- to begin his kingship on the right foot. Rather, he went over to the Yeladim, he went to the younger people, right? Because he thought that, the older people, they're not really with it, they're not with the program, they don't really know how to give advice anymore. You know, they had a good run for many years. They were the advisors of my father. But that's it. You know, the time is over. It's a new generation. It's a different mindset. Right? He thought that they loved him. The younger people, they really understand it. Right? Because we grew up together. Right? We grew up, we used to play ball together. We know each other for so many years. Right, we have a long-lasting relationship. They're gonna really understand me. They're gonna be able to relate and understand where I'm coming from. That's what he thought. Right, and what he didn't realize is that when he's turning to these people, to the younger people, is he's now appointing them to be his personal advisors. Which means the what? Okay, we have to end, it's almost married, but let's just finish this point. Which means what? Which means that they also want power. Right? No one's going to willingly give up power and say, yeah, it's fine to give the people what they want. We'll have a small government. We're going to give up our control, lower taxes. No, no, no. They're now starting their new job. So they want more power. They become more and more power hungry. The more they go up in the ranks. So now, what he didn't realize is that they're going to be looking for their own personal interest because they want to stay in power. They want to have more power. So they're going to give him the advice of not listening to the people, rather control them. The big and powerful government be a dictator. And tell them what has to be done. That's what he didn't realize. The Skenim gave him impartial advice. Advice, right? For them, it didn't make any difference. They weren't advisors to the king anymore. They're already in pension. They were retired already, right? So they didn't have any bias in their mind, and they gave him advice that was sound and that was true and honest to the situation. But he didn't recognize that, and instead he made the mistake of listening to the younger people, the new advisors who now reassumed the position of the advisors to the king, and he didn't even know, he didn't realize that they were actually biased. Okay, we'll stop here, because it's time for marriage. Okay.